in a pinch, you could slide Malik Collins over to help at that one tee. I don't want to see it happen. Listen. Hear me out.
No, he's just not big. He's just not as big.
10 pounds.
Go into
four stop.
Well, let me tell you another similarity. Their quarterback sucked. and that's really the problem with the entire draft class of wide receiver. Did Alabama win the national championship, Pat?
So is that what we're doing?
I don't remember. I remember Kendrick Lamar at halftime, allegedly. And everything else went blank.
Where he got beat up so badly, he was just never the same player.
Bro, we need to worry that he's still in the same shell shot, to be honest with you. That's another podcast for another
day. Yeah, that's another podcast.
Look at Terrence Newman. That was a knock on him when we drafted him way back in the day, that he was already old and he played until he was taking shots with Methuselah.
All right. You are now rocking with the best, and we are so happy to be back with you. It is draft season. We are down to the finish line. It is the nitty-gritty. It is crunch time. It's whatever you want to call it, but the NFL draft is now just a week away, and we are here to do a head-to-head, knockdown, drag-out bracket of who the Cowboys should pick with a number 19 pick. Of course, I'm your host here on Catch This Fade, KD Drummond. Find me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL, and that's my man, Patrick Walker. Tell him where to find you, Pat.
Ladies and gentlemen, catch me on Twitter at Voice of the Star. Make sure you guys have the CBS Sports app downloaded, or you can go online to 247sports.com/NFL/Dallas/Cowboys. That's where we at.
And, of course, you can find me daily on CowboysWire.com on the USA Today Sports Media Group Network. And we are doing big things right now. And, honestly, I think both of us are at the point where we're just exhausted of the entire draft process. We've been doing it for so long because the Cowboys didn't make the playoffs. So we've been looking forward to the draft since January, since it was cold outside.
And December.
Since we lost the Seattle game.
Week 16.
And I don't even know why I said since it was cold, because Mother Nature is just screwing everybody right now, and it's still freezing outside. It's January 93rd, if I check my calendar correctly. But right now we are so knee-deep, not in snow, but in draft talk. We have our trackers up. We have our profiles up. Everybody is talking about it. And honestly, we're done. We're at the point where we need to make a selection. So that's what we're going to help you do, Cowboys Nation. We're going to help you decide which of these prospects are the best fit for the Cowboys, and we're going to do a bracket style. The brackets were hot, social media, March Madness, all that kind of stuff, so we're going to carry that over, bring that to the Cowboys draft room, and decide which of these guys facing off against each other will advance to the next round. We have 8 players that we're considering for the Cowboys pick at number 19, and these aren't just necessarily our favorite picks, but also players we think the Cowboys are going to be highly interested in. We're going to set up a couple rules. There's not going to be any trades. We're not going to say, well, we're going to get Earl Thomas in the second round, so we don't want to go to with a center field safety or anything like that. We're going to do this straight across the board with 4 matchups. The winners meet, and then the winners of those meet, and we crown a champion, and then we're going to have a little twist at the end. So, Pat, the first matchup that I want to get to is going to be the linebackers. I don't personally believe that the linebackers is the way that the Cowboys need to go with the number 19 pick, but there is a strong case to be made for that. And 2 of the Cowboys visitors were Rashawn Evans of Alabama and Leighton Vander Esch of Boise State. So that's going to be our first matchup.
Sounds good. Let's get them head-to-head, see who comes up on top.
All right, so we know about Rashawn Evans. Did Alabama win the national championship, Pat?
So is that what we're doing?
I don't remember. I remember Kendrick Lamar at halftime, allegedly. And everything else went blank.
Allegedly. At some point in the fourth quarter, I can't exactly pinpoint when, but my cable service went out I just never really caught up on the actual outcome of the game. But, it's Georgia my understanding that Georgia didn't win, but I can't confirm that Alabama did.
So. Okay, all right, I can work with that. So Rashawn Evans of the national champion Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama plays one of those hybrid defenses. They have multiple fronts, and Evans is a guy that not only operates in space as a will linebacker in the 3-4, but he also puts his hand in the dirt on occasion. He's a pass rusher. He's kind of a hybrid of what teams look for in 3-4 linebackers. He can do a bunch of different things. He's just not a guy for me. He's just not what he would bring to Dallas for me. And let's set the table. Dallas has a situation with Sean Lee and Jalen Smith. I think that they are, based on their interest in this draft of linebacker, finally admitting that they shouldn't have made the Jalen Smith pick with the injuries that he had. We know Sean Lee has injuries pretty much every year. He's guaranteed to miss 3 to 5 games every season, if not more. So there's obviously a need to augment the talent at the position, but is what Evans bringing to the table, is that worth the number 19 pick compared to what you can get later on in the draft, or what you could even get with Leighton Van Der Esch?
I don't believe that Evans is worth the 19th overall pick, and that's not to say he's not going to be a good player in the league. I believe that he has the skill set, like you said, he can move around, he can play all three positions, the Mike, the Will, the Sam. But at the end of the day, if you're asking me would I take Rashawn Evans at 19, the answer is absolutely not. Now, if the Cowboys feel like he won't be available at 50, then they could potentially reach for him, but I just absolutely wouldn't. And then, I mean, you look at the fact that he would most likely slide to the weak side in the Cowboys 4-3. So you got to take that into account. And then, if you're looking at him, you know, maybe being the heir to Sean Lee, which is who he better be if you take him at 19, Evans has his own durability issues.
Yep.
So, I mean, he went out with a stinger, I believe, in 2017. His whole left side went numb following a hit, and that's not his first bout with injury. So you're talking about drafting a linebacker, which to me is not the top position of need going into the draft, in the first round to ultimately replace the linebacker that you have that also has durability issues. You can't make that make sense to me, Katie.
No, you absolutely can't. So his matchup is with Leighton Van Der Esch, who is out of Boise State. Now, there's a big difference in size between the two. Van Der Esch is 256 pounds. He's 6'4", and some extra change on there. Evans is 235.
And a couple of extra cans.
Evans is an inch shorter, and he's 20 pounds lighter. So Van Der Esch is more of a thumper as far as his physical build. But when I put on the tape, and I don't watch a lot of tape, don't get me confused with these guys that grind tape 24/7. But I did watch a couple things of him based off of what other people were saying. And he doesn't seem to be the type of person that can get off of blocks very easily. He seemed to get stonewalled rather easily. Now, I don't know what the quality of the rest of Boise State was. I remember they were, you know, competitive for a very long time. You know, earlier in the millennium, they were pretty competitive.
when a particular quarterback was there,
I have no idea who you're talking about, because he's definitely not an NFL quarterback, so I don't know who you're talking about.
The one whose name we shall not speak.
but Van Der Esch, for me, he seems like somebody that you would expect him to play the role of Sean Lee heir, but I don't know if he's the type of guy that can, at this point, get off of blocks the way that you would need him to with the Dallas Cowboys. So I have questions about him as well. But overall, I think I'm leaning towards him being a better fit for the Cowboys than Evans is, but it's really close. And again, I'm not really interested in either one of these guys.
Well, I would say I would give the edge to Van Der Esch as well. But when I say I'd give the edge to him, it's a fairly thin edge.
Right.
Because, I mean, my main knock against Evans is going to be his durability. Well, we're not going to pretend that LVE hasn't had injuries as well. I mean, he missed 6 games in 2016 with an injury, but yep. He tends to have less or fewer, I should say, availability issues than does Evan. So if we're talking about, you know, gun to my head, Pat, if you're going linebacker at 19, which of these two you're going with? I'm going with Van Der Esch. He has the more solid build. He's a bit more durable. And although he doesn't floor you consistently, so we're not saying that he doesn't floor you when you put on his tape, but consistently, I'm not exactly like my socks remain on more than they're knocked off. But I think he'd be a great player in the league. I think more immediately than Rashawn Evans would be if dropped in the Cowboys system. So I'm going to give this first matchup to LVE over Evans.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do the same, and my reason is a little bit different. I'm more about the production, and LVE had like 140 tackles this last year, and Evans had 74, so he doubled them up. They played, you know, he played a couple extra games. Boise, I believe, played 14, and Alabama just played the 12.
Yeah, and I'm extrapolating for that as well, because like I said, availability, so, you know, it would stand the logic that LVE is going to have more production because he was on the field more.
So, right, but... Well, the one thing that I will note is that when it comes to coverage, LVE is light years ahead of what Evans is as far as statistical production. So I think for me, that's going to be the deciding factor. I think both of them could put their hand in the dirt and rush. If the Cowboys ever change their mind about how they deploy right defensive ends, these two guys are strong considerations. I think Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech would be another example. These are linebackers that are kind of as the collegiate game changes and off-ball linebackers are also putting their hand in the dirt and rushing on occasion. I think that these two guys, again, along with Edmonds, represent that change. I think that Evans would probably be the better pass rusher while Van Der Esch would be the better coverage man. And in the Cowboy system, the coverage is going to win out because I just don't see Rod Marinelli putting a linebacker on. They might do it with Jalen. They might be changing some things up now that Chris Richard is there. And he'll have a lot of influence over the defense. Some people might say that he's really the de facto defensive coordinator. So we'll look for those changes and how they
use personnel. I'd be that person.
you may be that guy, but we'll be looking for those kind of changes. But at this moment right now, I can't foresee Evans being a better fit than Van Der Esch. So let's go ahead and move him on to the next round.
Yeah. So LVE, he's on only because he had to be in the battle with somebody. But I'm with you on the whole linebacker thing. I mean, we'll get a little bit later on who I would go for, but. LVE versus Evans. Sorry, Evans. At best, you're early day two for me. Actually, both of them are early day two at best for me. But if we're going 19, just for the sake of argument, I got to go with Van Der Esch.
No, I completely agree. Let's move to the next topic. We're going to say Vita Vey, defensive tackle for Washington. And because I absolutely cannot fathom them picking Deron Payne or Taven Bryan in the first round, I am not going to match him up against another defensive tackle. I'm going to match him up against one of my favorite guys in the draft. Shout out to my man Jonah Tulls for putting me on to him. James Daniels, the interior lineman from Iowa. Now,
This is spicy.
Yeah, this is spicy. I figured they were a good matchup because they're both interior players with a lot of girth and a lot of potential to have Pro Bowls, possibly all pros, and, you know, whatever else might come from that. Now, Daniels is so interesting because, again, he played center this last season. He has experience playing guard, so don't get it twisted. He's not inexperienced at that. He's played guard in the past, and he just seems to be one of the cleanest prospects that I found in the entire draft. His ability to also be a backup for Travis Frederick along with a starting left guard and know that we would remain elite at, to me, the second most important position on the offensive line, center, that's a huge feather in his cap, not to mention the fact that he's young and one of the youngest prospects in the draft in the developing body, and his potential hasn't even been tapped yet.
Okay. And you make a valid point, and anyone that follows me on Twitter, at Voice of the Star, shameless plug, knows that my top priority right now is repairing the hole at left guard. Everybody knows that's where I would go with my 19th pick. That being said, if you're going to put Daniels up against a player like Vea, I have to veer left a bit. I got to go with Vea. He is an absolute beast of a man. 6'5", 340 pounds of Bane and ballerina. And the Cowboys, the problem up to this point, as you know, I've said often, as you've said often, as a lot of our colleagues have said often, is the Cowboys have not been, they've been completely washing over the importance of having a true one technique. Rob Marinelli, he loves his position flex. He loves guys that can go from, you know, slide and pop down the line, up and down the line. So that's where players like Hurst came into play. Go ahead and get that out of here, because thankfully David Irvin is going to stay put. Because David Irvin is staying put, now to me, you still got that gaping hole at one tech, just like you have that gaping hole at left guard on the opposite side. But player to player, head to head, I'm taking Vita Vea over James Daniels 10 drafts out of 10 drafts, because this is not the type of monster you see roll around at nose tackle every year. You don't know that you're going to see a player like this at nose tackle in 2019's draft. So for that reason and several other that I've already mentioned, I'm going with Vita. That's the money right there. What you got?
All right, so here's the deal. Daniels for me is so intriguing because he's so effortless the way that he attacks not only three techniques on the line of scrimmage, but also the way he gets to the second level. The amount of movement. Remember back a couple years ago when Lyle Collins was playing left guard and he was like 30 yards downfield trucking people. I believe he even trucked Earl Thomas. It might have been
was a John Doe by the time he was done with him.
that's the kind of stuff that I see in a future of James Daniels at left tackle. I love Vita Vea. That's my guy. I've stumped for him on Twitter religiously.
Can't tell.
Excuse me, sir. I have receipts. You don't challenge me, man. I have receipts in this. What I love about Vea is that he improves everybody else on the defense, because you have to double team him in the run game. You also got to double team him when you're in pass protection. And what that would do, sandwiching him in between David Irving and DeMarcus Lawrence, and, you know, God bless us if Randy Gregory ever shows up again, just, you know, projecting stuff into the future, not necessarily this
topic
next
for
year.
The,
you know,
topic
just
for another show.
Exactly. But if the Cowboys ever got a speed rusher at right defensive end that was viable, having a player like Vea at the nose tackle position, it's unheard of. Because most nose tackles require a double team in the run game. The OL, they're tasked with creating displacement. And because of the size and strength of a typical competent one technique, it'll take two bodies in order to combat any type of space eater.
Yes.
But in pass protection, that's different.
But here's my question to you, because I hear what you're saying, and I know for a fact that you love Vea as much as I love Vea. I know your receipts. You don't have to start digging and pulling them out. But I also hear you leaning towards Daniels, but here's my question for that. Vea comes in immediately, and he does everything that we just talked about. He is an immediate impact player that is so good, so physically imposing, that he's going to make everyone to the left and right of him immediately better. And if you're talking about players like DeMarcus Lawrence and David Irving, who are already elite, Lawrence definitely, Irving, as soon as he puts together some more availability, then his stats will prove what we already know about him. But with Daniels, he's the flex of center guard. I think that he'd be a better center than guard. You mentioned him potentially backing up Travis Frederick. Frederick is still young. Frederick is unbelievably durable. So I just think that you're not getting as much value out of the pick if you go with Daniels as you would if you went with Vea.
See, I'm glad that you brought up value with the pick, because that's really what is going to be the deciding factor for me when it comes to this debate between Vea and Daniels. And I'm going to pull up something for you real quick. Give me one second. I'm multitasking right now. Just want to make sure I have this correct. Joe Looney.
Jeopardy theme music.
Yeah, no, no, I'm good. Joe Looney and Marcus Martin are your backups at center. If anything ever happens to Travis Frederick, it's a wrap. It's a complete wrap. Because you need somebody capable of not just hiking the ball to Dak Prescott, but Prescott isn't the one out there making all the line calls and doing those sorts of things and organizing with the rest of the linemen how they're going to attack. You need somebody of elite talent level in order to do that. And Frederick is one of the best, if not the best, in the game. But the drop-off between him and those backups, nah, man, I'm not confident in those dudes.
So, and I agree with that. I agree with that. I'll let you finish your point. I'm going to counter.
So what my point is there is the flexibility that he adds, the insurance that he adds, with the fact that we now have Cam Fleming as a swing tackle, and we have Lyle Collins who could, if he needed to, move over to left guard if there had to be a shift among the linemen. Daniels not only gives me upper echelon pedigree as a starter at left guard, but he allows an injury to another position to not handicap the team the same way we saw what happened in 2017 when we had one injury and everything else fell apart. Now,
and I completely agree, which is why the offensive line, the left guard position specifically, is my hands down top priority in this draft. That being said, player to player, I can't with good conscience take Daniels. Now, because what if I said you could get a player like, what if a player like, let's say, because the Cowboys have interest in Connor Williams out of Texas as well. Mm-hmm. So what if you get a player like Connor Williams falling and he's still there later on day three, right? But you're not going to see another player of Vea's talent falling it anywhere into late day two for that, let alone day three. So I'm just saying, I think that when you also factor in, so you have a very valid point when it comes to the value of the pick, but at the same time, if you look at the depth of the pool for each position, and who's at the top, whether it be the nose tackle versus the guard / center flex, It still falls on Vea. Like, no matter how I spin this top, it keeps falling on Vea. No knock to Daniels.
But
Let me tell you where you're wrong.
We haven't been on the air in a long time, so you might have forgotten how this goes. You say stuff, and then I prove how incorrect you are. So let me refresh memory of how this works.
It's not how. Ladies and gentlemen, we just want to apologize. It has been a while, you know, we've been compiling this draft stuff and getting a lot of this offseason news out for you guys. And we know it's been a while, and we shouldn't have left you without a dope pod to step to. But
and you know, it's hilarious that you just said that, because that was the intro music that I was going to use. I already had that mapped out. That was going to be the intro music. And we do
it's impactful. And until you're wrong. But other than that,
so listen, this is why you're wrong, and everybody can follow me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL and be like, you know what, KD, you was right, Pat was wrong. Defensive tackle, Vita is a unicorn. You're never going to get a defensive tackle once every maybe 10 years that you get a nose tackle this big that has pass rush ability.
This is a setup.
But
because you agree, which means there it is. There's the other shoe.
The majority of what you need a nose tackle for can be found in other people in later on in this draft. There are other nose tackles who could do a lot of what Vea does for you as far as the run stuffing. I'm not saying do what the Cowboys do and wait until the sixth round, because the last time they even drafted a nose tackle was Willie Blade back in 2001. That was higher than a sixth round pick. They got Montavious Staley and a couple other bums that came through the facility. Willie Blade was the last one.
Willie Blade was the last one back
in 2001. But what I'm saying is there's other nose tackles that they can get in round two or round three that can do a lot of the stuff that Vea does. If you pass, and I know you're going to agree with this, this is why it's going to be so beautiful. If you pass on an offensive lineman in the first round, you're not guaranteed to get your starting left guard at number 50. you might have to then use multiple picks to trade up to go get your guy. And I'm not saying the Cowboys have plenty of picks. They have 10. They have the ammunition to do that. But you have to kind of get your guy in round one to be sure that you address the biggest hole on the team. And it's bigger to me than receiver. So
I agree with the fact that you agree with the fact that that left guard is the number one need. That much we are completely in agreement on. But here's where I differ, because I think, you know, and it's fine, because it's not necessarily that either of us are wrong, even though you're the one that's wrong here. If you look at, to your point, but in the inverse, looking at some of the guards, right? You're talking about, how do we know Billy Price isn't going to fall? He suffered the torn pick, right?
We don't know.
And we don't know, which means it's very possible a talent like Billy Price falls and is available at 50 and beyond, potentially even 81, because it's to be determined. I mean, the latest medical reports I read, correct me if I'm wrong, if you heard anything different, is that he should be available before the season begins. But we all know setbacks to injuries happen. What if he has to start the year on the PUP list? These are thought processes that have to go through the mind of an NFL scout. So how do you know Billy Price isn't there? What about someone like Frank Ragnow out of Arkansas? So, I mean, there, I think that you're still going to be able to get your starting left guard if you pass on a player like Daniels. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we're simply keeping the scope between Vea and Daniels for the sake of this argument. We're not touching on anyone else just yet. I have to be clear on that, because people are going to say, well, Pat, what about? Okay, well,
no, I understand. And you know, we don't kowtow to the lowest common denominator. If you can't follow along, that's really not our problem.
Yeah, this isn't your pod.
Yeah, this isn't the pod for you. So,
this isn't the pod for you.
I'm going to relent.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean,
I'm going to relent. Hold on.
So,
I'm going to relent. I'm going to relent, and we're going to move Vita on to the second round. So in our next round, he will match up against Leighton Vander Esch. And let's be honest, we might as well just move him all the way to the finals immediately.
Yeah, let's go ahead. It's just
so this side of the bracket is
kid ourselves.
Yeah, we're not even going to kid ourselves. Why waste the airtime in a competition between Leighton Vander Esch and Vita Vea?
Please,
we're going to move him on to the finals. So Vita is in our finals.
Fair.
Now we're going to.
He's already dead.
We're going to move on to the other side of the bracket with one of the best matchups that we can think of, Georgia's Isaiah Wynn versus UTEP's Will Hernandez. And I know it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out battle, because one of these guys from Georgia and the other guy is your draft crush. So go ahead. I'll let you have the floor.
Okay, so here's where I am. First of all, Isaiah Wynn is the more polished pick. Let me preface with this. You can't go wrong here. You cannot go wrong here.
I agree.
Either one is a grand slam pick. But I will say this. Isaiah Wynn is the more polished of the two. Plus, he has the ability to flex from guard to tackle. And that is something that can't be overlooked with the injury history of Tyron Smith. Even though Tyron came out recently and said he feels as healthy as he's ever felt, that sounds absolutely fantastic. We love you, big guy, but we're not going to pretend your past is not your past. So it feels great to have the insurance of someone like Wynn, who you have at your starting left guard, but can also pop out to, you know, starting left tackle in the event that Tyron Smith goes down with injury. And then, of course, you know, bring up Marcus Martin for a temporary solution. That sounds great. But for my money, and this is a 51-49, and this tears me up because of everything I just said about Wynn, plus go Dogs. But if we're talking about Will Hernandez, you are talking about 6'3", 330 pounds of get the hell out of my way. That's what you're talking about. And the Cowboys, they're going a big part of success this season on the team as a whole, and in the most pivotal year of Dak Prescott's young career, is going to be predicated upon the success of Ezekiel Elliott. Got to get that offensive line patched up like we talked about in depth with the last matchup. I think Will Hernandez, he is the best run protection guard in the NFL draft. I believe when it comes to establishing and opening up lanes for running backs, Hernandez has that edge over Wynn. So although it's a bit of an apple and an orange, I would go with Hernandez by a very slim margin just because he's an absolute bully. Not to say Wynn is not. Wynn is a beast, but Hernandez is a bully. He throws. He's the Vea of the offensive line. He just throws guys around. He just throws guys around. So for my money, again, you can't go wrong with either pick. This is one of the most difficult head-to-heads that we have on the show tonight. But I got to go with Hernandez. That's my pick. What you got?
I have absolutely no disagreement with you. I mean, my Hernandez would be my pick as well. I think part of the issue that I have is Wynn's height. And let me give me 1 second here. I'm so multitasking right now. Wynn is only 6'2". Hernandez is only 6'2", so shit. They're both short as hell.
Right, but here's Hernandez has almost 15 pounds on at the same height.
There you go. There you go.
And that's coming out of the compound at almost 15 pounds heavier.
See, I knew I kept you around for some reason. You're actually good for a couple things. The Cowboys have made it clear over the years. I think Hernandez shares an agent with Teron Smith. They've been seen all around town together. They've the Cowboys, according to one of our team sources, they've been linked with this guy for a couple years. I think he's a perfect fit for what they want to do. And they haven't really shown much interest in Wynn beyond the combine. And that's kind of funny. I didn't, you know, they're well-versed in Hernandez, so they didn't need to bring him for a 30 visit. But they didn't really do much with Wynn. And that could be seen as one of two things. They could just be masking their interest and they see everything that they need to see about him. But as somebody that played tackle this last year, I know you can put on the tape from, you know, 15 to 16 where he split time between tackle and guard, playing primarily guard, really. But it just seems like they would have brought him in if they were seriously considering making him the pick for number 19.
To your point about when you're saying they didn't bring him in, and like you said, it could be a smokescreen, but when you look at they brought in someone, well, not necessarily brought him in, but they went and took a heavy look at someone like Connor Williams, and they when they worked out Connor Williams, they worked him out at all five positions.
Right. Yep.
So it kind of begs the question, why would, knowing that Wynn has split time between guard and tackle, why not bring him in so you can at least get a firsthand look at him at both positions, considering he did split time? So you know what you got with Hernandez. You know what he is. He's not going to flex. So to your point, they didn't necessarily have to bring Hernandez in. But it is a huge question mark as far as why they didn't exercise any additional interest in Wynn beyond the NFL combine. Again, could be a smokescreen. This is draft season. This is, everybody's playing a game of chess. But as it stands, based on what I'm hearing, based on our conversations offline, based on what you're hearing, I don't smell like there's a lot of interest for Wynn. But that being said, all things being equal, if the team was equally interested in both, I'm still going with Hernandez by a slim margin.
Do you think one is better out the gate than the other?
I think out the gate, Wynn is better just because he's more polished. He played in the SEC. That's not to take a knock at the competition that that UTEP went up against, but we're not going to pretend that UTEP is in the same monstrous football conference as the SEC. And you can say that's my SEC bias, Mr. ACC guy.
Oh, man, look, I don't have a conference, man. Look, my team is in the Big Ten now. We're nomads. I don't even know what to do with it.
And truth be told, I'm willing to concede that there might be a tad bit of conference bias in that assessment. But that being said, that bias is out the window when I continually proclaim that Hernandez is my pet cat. So the bias isn't carrying too much.
There you go.
So yeah, that's where I am.
All right, so I think we both agree Hernandez is going to move on to the next round. He is going to move on to the final four.
To be a bloodbath. Championship.
Because this final matchup in the Elite Eight, it's a doozy. We have Calvin Ridley versus DJ Moore. Calvin Ridley versus DJ Moore, people. This is
gets the people going.
They're so similar, yet they're so different. It's amazing. They're both relatively short for the position and for what the Cowboys would be interested in. They're both barely above. Well, DJ Moore is exactly 6 feet. Everybody thought he was 5'10" up until the combine. Calvin Ridley isn't even 6'1". He's 6 feet and like half an inch or somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, well, let me tell you another similarity. their quarterback sucked. Like, I mean, they're, and that's really the problem with the entire draft class of wide receivers. Ridley, Moore, Sutton, what's the other dude? Anthony Miller?
To a lesser degree, St. Brown out of Notre Dame. I mean, listen, this class is
all of these dudes, it's pure speculation about who is going to be the top. And I think you have to kind of take that with a grain of salt. We're not looking at anybody that's had an elite passer throwing the ball to him. The guys that had elite passers are kind of down the list a little bit. You know, the receivers for USC, who is it? Deontay Burnett. Who are the other top quarterbacks? They really didn't have – Oklahoma, I don't think, has any top wide receiver guys that are considered first- or second-round picks. So, long story short –
None of these guys have the quarterback. Ironically, the quarterbacks that are being fawned over right now, they're not tied to these wide receivers.
Exactly. And overall, I think that's something to really be careful of in projecting both positions forward.
Right.
But what we saw out of Ridley – was that he's a Z receiver. He's somebody that's always on the move. They're moving around a lot in the formation with Alabama. He's a guy that goes in motion. He primarily plays that role. Moore, however, is an X receiver despite his smaller stature. The difference between the two is huge. It's like 25 pounds difference on the same height.
Yes.
Because yes. Moore's lower body is so... He's like a taller Steve Smith. That's the best way for me to describe.
He's a horse.
Yeah, I look at Calvin Ridley like what some people try to compare Moore to, but Calvin Ridley reminds me of Stephon Diggs.
Yes,
DJ Moore,
slender. Yes, he's slender.
Great catch radius, smooth guy, not going to break a tackle. You worry about him a little bit getting jammed to the line. He does have good agility, but you worry about him getting jammed to the line. I don't have those concerns with Moore. And that's why, for me, Moore is a better pick because not only are they both deep threats, but if I send Moore across the middle, he has a chance to break something even with defenders in front of him. He has a chance to put on moves and to get away from guys and to break through tackles and continue down the field and get me more yardage on a play-by-play basis than I think what Ridley does. And I love Ridley. Ridley, for a long time, until I really started to study every aspect of what Moore brought to the table, Ridley was my number one receiver. But right now, it's Moore. I think he's a better pick for Dallas.
And I actually agree with that. It's kind of funny because we're on the same page on several of these, and it's starting to break me out in hives because I don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah, you're always wrong. So what happens when you agree?
Because it either means you're right or I'm wrong, and it probably means you're right because I'm right. But anyway, all right. So you make excellent points as far as Ridley is concerned. He does have a notch under his belt as far as the height comparison. And I personally, I typically like taller receivers, but I like them sturdier than what Ridley gives me. I think he came in at 190, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, 199.
Yeah, you said 190 or 199?
189.
189. Okay, well, here's the problem with that. I weighed 189 in high school. so that's a bit, you know, and in high school, if I got hit by an NFL player coming across the middle at full speed, probably was not going to be a good ending. Now, that's not to say Ridley is not a grown man, because he is a grown man out there, but that 190 concerns me. So that offsets the additional inches that he has height-wise over Moore. Moore is, you know, roughly 215. He's built like a horse. He's not easily pressed at the line. He's an equal, if not better, route runner than Ridley, who himself is a great route runner. But for what the Cowboys need done, I think both of them would get the job done, but it's really just based on your personal taste and what do you want to see out of your X receiver. And I want a dog. And I think DJ Moore is an absolute liking. I
there you go.
All the way from me to foot. He's an absolute lichen, and the NFL is going to be underworld to him, man. He's going to get out there. What he had 1,033 yards in 2017, 8 touchdowns, and if you look at his stats, they've progressively gotten better over, you know, his collegiate career with Maryland. And I mean, I think that he's not only one of the more dangerous wide receivers in the country, I'm here to argue that he is the most dangerous wide receiver in all the land. Now, granted, I still wouldn't take a wide receiver at 19, but if you're going to pull that trigger, which I would strongly advise against, but if you're going to pull that trigger, for me, it better be more. It better be more.
See, now, depending on how the board shakes out, I'm not as opposed to taking a wide receiver at 19. I of course think that there are better positional choices, but more is that guy. More for me, he transcends the position the same way that Vita does at nose tackle. So for me, one of the things that a lot of people don't know about is the situation at Maryland is so foobar when it comes to the quarterback. They can't keep a quarterback on the field. He had, in the last two seasons, he caught passes from 6 different quarterbacks, dog. 6.
And still produced.
So just think about what we know about rhythm and being familiar with the guy throwing the ball to you and that kind of timing and all those things that need to be established for a wide receiver to really get going. He had absolutely no opportunity to get any rhythm with any of these quarterbacks, and he still has the best phenom index, and I'll explain what that is in a second, the best phenom index score of any player that's been to the combine. The next guys on the list, on the phenom index list behind him, let me give you these names, because you're not even going to believe who it is that he's better than and who he's in the company.
I'm here for it. Give it to me.
He's number one. Number two is Allen Robinson. Number three is Demaryius Thomas. Number four is Larry Fitzgerald. Number five is Dez Bryant. Number six is Kenny Britt. Okay, whatever. Number seven is Amari Cooper. So 1 through 5, Moore is better. Moore has better per age production share of his offense than Robinson, Thomas, Fitzgerald, and Bryant. Dog.
Phenomenal.
Dog. Not only am I telling the Cowboys that it's okay to take him at 19, even above some of these other guys, like let's say that whoever ends up being our top player, whatever the case may be, if they're not available and some of these other secondary guys are, take more, because he is going to transform the offense, especially knowing what we know about Dak Prescott and his lack of accuracy. Now,
on top of that, you also, because you mentioned, you kind of alluded to the age thing a bit, which is a perfect kind of a segue here.
He's
because
a baby.
Calvin Ridley is already 23 years old. And while that doesn't matter to some, it matters to others. And for me, it matters because by the time he's done with his rookie contract, and if you give him a fifth-year option, he's almost 30.
Yep.
And I think that also when you're comparing him up against someone like Moore, and then, of course, you add in, like you said, the phenom index and everything, I think Moore is just that guy. He gives you – and he's even a tick faster than Ridley. I think Ridley was 4.43, which is fast, obviously. Moore was, I think, 4.42. And then if you kind of look back, Ridley was arguably – outplayed by his own brother in the national championship that we don't know if if they won or not. But Ridley was arguably outplayed by his own brother on the biggest stage in college football. So all of these things lend to me leaning much more heavily towards Moore. Again, this is not a knock to Ridley. I think he's going to be an absolutely fantastic wide receiver for someone in the NFL. But I think that between the two of them, Moore is my number one wide receiver in the draft.
Yeah, and just to add some context to what we were talking about with the age, Ridley turns 24 by the end of the season. He turns 24 in December. DJ Moore just turned 21 on Saturday.
Fantastic.
Like, he just had his first legal drink. So you're talking about 3 entire years of lack of, for lack of a better way to phrase it, immaturity. when it comes to mileage on the body and how soon you're looking at a player. Now, obviously, there's people that come in late and then last forever. Look at Terrence Newman. That was a knock on him when we drafted him way back in the day, that he was already old and he played until he was, you know, taking shots with Methuselah. So age is not always a detriment, but most of the time it's one of the key indicators in how quickly a player starts to get injured and their body starts to break down.
Let's position it this way. So like you said, KD, Moore just turned 21. Okay. If they go wide receiver in the first round, you take Moore in the first round, you exercise his fifth year option, assuming that he delivers like we believe that he's going to deliver. You can get his first full contract at 5 years. Let's say they re-up on a 4 year. That's 9 years, and he'll just be turning 30 at the conclusion of his second contract in the NFL.
Exactly. That's how you get a Hall of Fame career. Like, if everything matches up to your skill set and the projections and all that, that's how you end up being a Hall of Fame type of player. And I'm not saying Moore is that caliber, but I'm just saying getting that kind of production from an early age is the absolute best case scenario that you can look for when you're drafting a player. That's why I love Daniel so much.
Two contracts before the age of 30. For arguably the best wide receiver in the draft.
So
that's where I am.
And that's exactly where I am, too. So I think we're in agreement once again. This is scary, but DJ Moore is going to go ahead and advance to the next round.
Okay. I'm right there with you.
So we've already decided that that our man Vea wiped out Vander Esch. There's absolutely no point in talking about that. But let's discuss your guy Hernandez versus my guy Moore. Now we get into positional priority here, Ben, don't we?
Yeah, we absolutely do. Now this is where we're going to absolutely split down the line. I'll let you take this one first. Who you got?
Okay, I made
my sentiments exactly. My sentiments exactly.
I made the point earlier that I really just don't know. I can't guarantee that one of the guys that we like. I mean, Price is going to be ready in June. I don't know if he's going to make it to 50, if teams believe that he's going to be ready in June. Austin Corbett from Nevada is rising up so quickly, and those are really the only guys I see as a remote possibility of being in play for the Cowboys guard in the second round. So if we go in a different direction in the first round, we kind of have to get to the point where we're saying, yeah, we're willing to give up one of those fourth round picks in order to move up and make sure that we get our guy, which I'm not opposed to. I mean, there are five positions that I think the Cowboys need to attack in the draft: linebacker, safety, defensive tackle, wide receiver, and left guard. I would love to get one of each of those within the first four rounds, because really, after you get out of the fourth round, it doesn't matter anyway. You're just basically rolling the dice. So right. I would hate to have to give up one of those picks, but I would if it meant that I had to do that in order to secure my offensive line. But I don't think I want to take that chance. As much as I love DJ Moore, and I would be ecstatic to have a Maryland Terrapin as the Cowboys' top wide receiber.
No bias there at all. No bias there whatsoever. Huh?
I think I got to go with Will Hernandez.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I stole your thunder. Yeah.
No, you didn't steal my thunder, because I was really hoping that you came to your senses on this one. I was afraid you were going to let your Terrapin bias completely cloud judgment here. But yes, without a doubt, it's got to be Will Hernandez. And here's my stance on why. And I've been vocal about this, and I'm going to continue to be vocal about this until enough people understand that your offensive line dictates all three phases of the game. If you own the offensive line, you now own time of possession. And if you own time of possession, obviously you control how frequently your defense takes the field. They remain rested, et cetera, et cetera. If you own the offensive line, your third down conversion percentage is going to be one of the best in the NFL. So your special teams is not going to be on the field as much trying to get field position from Chris Jones. Dan Bailey's going to be rested. We see that. We saw that Dan Bailey had some injury issues in 2017. Wouldn't you love to know that he doesn't have to swing the boot as much going forward as he has, considering he's now getting older? So, again, offensive line, that's the money ball. I'm going with Will Hernandez there. And also because with DJ Moore, yes, I'm not even a fan of Maryland, but I am a fan of Moore. I am a fan of Moore. But realistically speaking, if you're talking about building your board and you're talking about positional priority and how things are going to shake out, at the same time, you could look at someone, okay, so you don't get Moore, okay? You go Will Hernandez at 19. Assuming no trade up or trade downs at 50, why wouldn't you double back and take someone like Courtland Sutton, if he's available? James Washington, they have value in him. DJ Chark a little bit later, maybe at 81, if he's there, if you're feeling kind of froggy on him, you could justifiably get someone like DJ Chark. Or like I said, Washington, Sutton, Deion Kane, Michael Gallup, right? So
that's a completely feasible point. Is the depth at wide receiver, yes, makes it something that you can circle back around on if you don't get your guy.
So I'm with you. I'm going Hernandez because as much as I would love to have Moore, as much as you would love to have Moore, Moore is not going to open up lanes for Ezekiel Elliott. And the offense is predicated upon the success of Ezekiel Elliott. The future of Dak Prescott is predicated upon that. And I just mentioned, kind of to a lesser extent, but still important, the ongoing health of Dan Bailey. You don't want him out there, you know, every drive trying to boot a field goal. The defense, you know, you want them rested for the fourth quarter. Long story short, Will Hernandez, gimme. Gimme.
All right, so Will Hernandez moves on to our finals to take on Washington nose tackle Vita Vey. Now, this comes down to philosophy. So let's walk through this really quick. We've already made the case of what each guy does. We've made it clear the qualities that each of these two players has. So we're talking about now positional importance and effect on the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. If the Cowboys get a nose tackle who is also a pass rusher, that impacts every level of the defense.
Yes.
It makes things easy for his fellow defensive linemen because it gives them more one-on-one opportunities in pass rush. When it comes to the run, it keeps the linebackers clean so that they can flow to the ball and make tackles instead of being falling backwards and 5-6 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. They can actually get their 2-3 yards within the line of scrimmage. And additional pass rush help obviously helps the secondary because they don't have to cover for as long and they can do more creative things, blitzing off of the edge and all of those sorts of kind of exotic things that we're hoping to see out of the Chris Richard defense.
Mm-hmm.
At guard, you once again return the running game to upper echelon in the league. Not that it ever really went anywhere except for when Ezekiel Elliott was out. But you further that even more. You provide Dak Prescott with even better protection than he was afforded last year. And honestly, the Cowboys have the best offensive line when it comes to run blocking, but not necessarily when it comes to pass protection. So we can always use an upgrade there. And it allows the offense in general to function at a much higher level than what we saw in 2017. It returns us to 2016 when we had Ron Leary and everything was beautiful.
Right.
So where you going?
Here's where I'm torn. And when I say I'm torn, dude, I mean I'm absolutely torn on this one. Because if you look at someone like Vail, like you said, he's a generational talent. He's going to help the defense in such a way that they'll be able to force more mistakes because of the pressure from the front four and consequently the front seven. And those takeaways, should those mistakes turn into takeaways, they become more opportunities for the offense to score the ball. But where that runs, what that runs up against with me is still, we're talking about Vea having all of this impact on the defense, which is obvious. And to an obvious degree, like I just stated, he's going to have an impact on the offense as well. But The impact he's going to have on the offense, I don't believe equates to the impact someone like Will Hernandez would have on the defense by virtue of keeping the offense on the field. And then you have other variables you have to consider. You want Ezekiel Elliott to remain healthy, not simply produce at an elite level. You want him to remain healthy. You want Dak Prescott to remain healthy. The last thing you want is Prescott to go into another shell shock mode like he was in 2017, where he got beat up so badly he was just never the same player.
Bro, we need to worry that he's still in the same shell shock, to be honest with you. But that's another podcast for another
day. Yeah, that's another podcast. But yeah, you're right. But Vita Vea, Will Hernandez.
Make a pick, Pat. Make a pick.
Okay. Will Hernandez, I'm beating the table. That's where we're at. That's where I'm at. Will Hernandez is my champion. He is my draft champion. This was a hard one. This is a hard championship because I love it. I love Vea so much, dude. Like, you know. Like, he's... He was one of my early pet cats, and he has not fallen off as far as over the course of the offseason. He has actually climbed in stock. The problem is, so has Hernandez. Look at what Hernandez did at the combine. He absolutely owned the combine. So I just think Hernandez is that dude. And plus, he has the obvious link to the Cowboys, but, you know, having the same agent as Tyron Smith. Perfect fit. I'm going with Hernandez, man, because in a pinch, you could slide Malik Collins over to help at that one T. I don't want to see it happen. No, listen. Hear me out. Hear me out.
He got absolutely mauled by double teams, man. I'm not putting Malik Collins back on one tackle, man. No. He's not going back to the one tack.
They're considering it.
Yeah, well, they're.
So, and I'm speaking from their consideration, not what Pat would do.
Well,
I'm speaking
they'd from be their dumb.
Yeah, and I agree, but I'm just simply saying from their consideration, because we also have to speak from the team's consideration as well. So from the team's consideration, since they're, you know, mulling making that move, if they are, in fact, contemplating that, then that's going to add more value to Hernandez, because in their eyes, they think that they can get away with, you know, sliding Malik Collins over to one tech every once in a while. And if they do believe that, which would be an unfortunate belief, but if they do believe that, then that's going to lean them more towards Hernandez than Vail. So whether you look at it from an intelligent take, like we're putting out there, or a nonsensical one that sees them sliding Malik Collins over, either way, it still lands on Hernandez, I believe.
Okay, well, let me channel this very very special and insightful response.
Wrong.
You're wrong. The answer is Vita Vea. You go with the big guy in the middle of the defense because he is the one player that does. No, he's just not as big. Okay, he's just not as big.
10 pounds and 2 inches. Boy, stop.
You go with the guy who is a. What's the best way to phrase it? Because I don't want to misspeak. I don't want to over-sensationalize it. You don't get nose tackles that have the ability of Vita Vea, but once every maybe 5-10 years. I can get another Will Hernandez. I can't get another Vita Vea. Now, I appreciate everything that Hernandez is, but he's not Quentin Nelson. He's not the best guard in this draft. And I will resort back to one of the many tenets of the 10 Cowboys draft commandments, which you can always find on CowboysWire.com. The Cowboys love to walk away from their first round pick with the absolute best player at his position. Not best player available once they get on the clock. The overall number one player at a position. That's Vita Vea as a nose tackle, but that's not Will Hernandez when it comes to the guard, because Quentin Nelson is that guy when it comes to the guard, and he's going to be going in the top 7 picks. Now, with that said, all respect due to Will Hernandez and what he would do for the offense. Worst case scenario, the Cowboys have a good enough contingency plan of moving Collins over, drafting a guy that might not be ready to start right away, but could possibly take over down the line this year or next season, and starting Cam Fleming at right tackle. But there is no in-house solution for the Cowboys if they don't get a premier nose tackle out of this draft. They're going to be run on, Sean Lee is going to get hurt, and the entire defense is going to be a half defense if they don't plug that hole immediately. So my money says the best, and I know Cowboys Nation isn't going to agree with me because nobody thinks a nose tackle is sexy, or some people do, but nobody appreciates him like I do.
The smart ones do.
The answer is Vita Vey. Make the pick, run to the podium, and improve your entire defense every single level. Let's get it. Catch this thing.
I'll simply counter it in this way. You make a lot of valid points, and I'm not going to dispute the points that you made valid. There is a much easier, for lack of a better way to put it, in-house solution at left guard if you're looking at moving Collins back over. Which he doesn't want to move over. We don't really want to see him move back over,
right?
Because
no, you're right.
I'd rather him remain at right tackle and not, you know, and let Cameron Fleming swing left to right. That being said, you know, another way you can keep Sean Lee healthy is reduce his snap count. And that's why Will Hernandez is the pick.
Yeah, but if Sean Lee is going to play 900 snaps, I'd rather him play 900 behind Vita Vey. Than play 800 behind.
I'd rather defensive snaps be reduced by 10, at least 10% from 2017 to 2018. I want to see a reduction in that.
I think there are other options. I think there are guys that you can get at left guard that, like I said, could start by the end of the year. Braden Smith out of Auburn. I mentioned Corbett could be there in the second round. We talked about Billy Price. One of the other guys could potentially slide. But there's nobody that can do what Vita can do. And for that, that's my pick. Out of this bracket, that's who I'm going with.
What about someone like, and forgive me if I'm mispronouncing his name, De'Adrian Sinat? What about him? For example, that's just one. One example.
Or Harrison Fellows from Stanford. Both of those guys are great nose tackle prospects, and I think that they can do a lot as far as stopping the run. But that pass rush ability, man, he's magic. He's magic.
I agree,
the big guy isn't supposed to be that athletic. And
he's an animal. They're both animals. That's the difficulty here, is that they're both animals.
Honestly, that's my fallback, though. If I didn't get Vea, I would be looking at getting Harrison Phillips from Stanford.
So I'm going to make this real pretty for you. Okay, so we go Hernandez, right? You go Hernandez, and then you still have Sinat on the table, you know, in late day three. If need be. So Hernandez, and then you go get your wide receiver at 50, 81, you grab Sinat. Are you upset with that?
No, I'm not upset with any of it.
Okay,
I'm not upset with any of it. But no.
Okay, so let's pull up a chair and let's eat.
let's play that out. Let's say it's Hernandez, and then we get a receiver. He's not going to be an X because the only two viable X's are Moore and Sutton. Everybody else is a Z in this draft. Maybe Gallup, maybe. So
I'll walk that back.
But would I rather have? Let's call it Gallup. Let's say we go Hernandez, Gallup, and then Sinat. However it's pronounced. Opposed to, let's say that we went. What's the best way for me to?
You got nothing.
No. I want to make sure that I give you the best combination possible, and I don't want to reach for anybody. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we're saying Hernandez, Gallup, and Sinat, or Sine, however you pronounce it, versus Vita, Austin Corbett, and DJ Shark.
You know what? And here's why I think the trio that I put out there is better. Not simply because I put it out there.
You don't like Shark. You don't like Shark. Shark. He's Shark to me because my kid always says Shark.
Too inconsistent for me, dude. He's too inconsistent for me. Like, you had me on the first two. You lost me on Shark.
Okay, so you pick a receiver that should be there in the third round. Shark, Washington, Pettis, Deshaun Hamilton. That route running to Hamilton, boy.
Hamilton's a beast, dude. Give me Hamilton. If you really want to make that trio sexy that you just put out there, you gotta book in that with Hamilton. You book in that with Hamilton, and I'm willing to sit at the table.
Okay, so that's our competition. That's what we'll take to the Twitter streets. Which of those combinations is better? Because I know everybody's going to say take the guard over the nose tackle. That's not even going to be a competition. But as a three-peat, let's go with Vea, Corbett, and Hamilton versus Hernandez, Gallup, and Sanat. That's what we'll take.
There you go.
And that's it. We're going to wrap it up. We went an hour this time, but it's a draft preview, so we had no choice but to go overtime. Follow us on Twitter. I am, of course, at KD Drummond NFL. He is Patrick Walker at Voice of the Star. Tell us what you think about this episode. Weigh in with which of the combinations you would rather prefer the Dallas Cowboys to walk away with from the first 2 days of the draft. And then buckle your seatbelts because it's time to go.
It's time to go, baby. It's time to go. Saddle up. We're only a few days away from the draft. Cowboys pick 19. They have needs at several positions. They have 10 picks. They can move up. They can move down. Earl Thomas is still in play. We didn't discuss that for a reason because we wanted to keep the contest as pure
it's
as possible.
Too much. It's too
much. Yeah, too much. But, I mean, it's going to be some fireworks. And then, of course, to make it all the better, it's being held at AT&T Stadium. So we have something in store for you, Roger Goodell. Welcome.
Yeah, buddy. And, of course, we got to send the people a shout-out. We will be there. We will be in person at AT&T
Stadium. In the building.
I don't know how much coverage we're going to be able to do. I don't even know if we're going to be able to get a podcast going on that week, but we will be there. So, you know, if you see us, you've seen our videos, mine on Cowboys Wire. Pat is always on Facebook Live. You know what it is. Holler at us. Let us know who you are. Just, you know, make sure you give us 3 feet because, you know,
we love you guys.
Big
just,
crowds.
Exactly. Pull up. Just, you know, the elbow room.
Elbow
right?
room. That's all.
Elbow distance, right? Aside from that, pull up. We love you guys. We love you guys. Just whenever you see us around, we're going to be pretty much everywhere. We'll be in the building for the draft. Of course, we'll be outside as well with the draft experience. And we'll be all around town for the most part. So if you see us, just come up. Let's talk some Cowboys football. Let's grab a beer or two. And let's just have a blast, man. It's the NFL draft. It's the last real fun we'll have before training camp starts. So let's get going.
And get ready to catch this fade. We out of here, man. Salute.
It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a strong rhyme to step to. Think of how many weeks shows you slept through. Time's up. I'm sorry I kept you. Thinking of this, you keep repeating your miss. The rhyme from the microphone solo with. So you sit by the radio and on the dial soon. As you hear it, pump up the volume. Dance with the speaker till you hear it blow. Then plug in a headphone, cause here it go. It's a four-letter word when it's heard to control your body to dance. So, dot text the tempo like a red alert. Reach it, your reflex and let it work. When this is playing, you can't get stuck with the steps. So can say, and I'ma still come up with a gift to be swift. Follow the leader, the rhyme will go deaf with the record that was mixed a long time ago. It could be done, but only I could do it. For those that could dance and clap your hands to it. I start to think, and then I sink into the paper like I was ink. When I'm writing, I'm trapped in between the line. I escape when I finish the rhyme. I got soul.